What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Putting America first, second, and third. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Welcome back to our show here, hour number two. The phone lines are open, 512-248-8252. And we have Steve in West Virginia on the line. Steve, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, hi, Mike. Just a couple things. Listen, in the beginning of the show, you were talking about Hollywood and how the revenue is not there and stuff. I have a next-door neighbor who's one of his kids works for Regal Cinemas. And I always happen to talk to him and ask him, you know, if he's watched certain movies and stuff. And he told me about a week ago that almost all the movies that are coming out now, even on the day they come out, they get four or five people in the whole theater, and that's it. So you are 100% right. People are not watching these movies in the theater. And I kind of asked him, I said, well, what do you think's going on? He goes, the movies aren't that good. And then he said, you know, of course, the other thing was COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the movies aren't that good, you know, there's a funny story about Star Trek. And I think I've mentioned this before, but I'm going to tell you about how Hollywood killed itself. When they were planning the first Star Trek movie, they had an interesting script come on in where the Enterprise met the god Quetzalcoatl coming back to Earth in fulfillment of prophecy. So far, so good.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that Quetzalcoatl is an advanced technological being. And mm-hmm. the Paramount executives rejected the script, saying, oh, this is going to offend Christians, it's going to offend Muslims, it's going to offend Jews, anybody, you know, to say that your God is really just an advanced society, they're going to find that very offensive, they're really going to hate it. And the author of that script walked across the Paramount lot to the offices where they were producing the animated cartoon Saturday morning Star Trek. They bought the script, and it won a Hugo Award.
I believe it.
Yeah, so this constant, we're going to put out entertainment that doesn't offend anybody. Well, you're going to wind up with something that just isn't that interesting. And let's be very honest, that first Star Trek movie was not very good, even with all the enthusiasm of the Trekkies. And it was just by a good stroke of fortune that they went on to the second one, The Wrath of Khan, which rescued the franchise.
Right. Mike, what's your opinion about how they're trying? If you look at all of, like, a lot of the new Marvel movies, they're always trying to insert these gay characters and trans. I mean, I think that's killing it too.
Oh yeah, people are just rejecting that. For one thing, you know, if you wanted to inject a whole new character who was gay or a woman. I think people wouldn't have a problem with that, or create a new character who's black. But when you take an icon that we've all grown up with, like Superman or Batman or Wonder Woman or Queen Elizabeth, you know, and you all of a sudden do that radical change, people are going to reject that and say, no, that's not the Superman I know. That's not the Lone Ranger that I know. Okay, I came here to see my childhood icons reinforced and shown even better. And this idea of taking these various Marvel characters and redesigning them to LGBTQ and gender and equity and everything, it has backfired rather horribly. And, you know, I know they put a lot of money into those Marvel movies, and I certainly like the early ones, but the more recent ones, I just, you know, special effects alone is not going to sell a movie. Special effects right. without a good storyline is actually pretty boring. That's not me. That's George Lucas.
Yeah. Mike, one more thing I got real quick.
Yeah.
I listened to this, you know, I watch the Judge Napolitano YouTube show every once in a while. And he
yep.
always has two guests. He has Colonel Douglas McGregor and Scott Ritter on there fairly often. And they just had McGregor on the other day, and McGregor was saying that it's already snowing in Poland. And he
yeah, it is. It's also snowing in the Carpathian Mountains in Ukraine.
Yeah, so he said, he goes, people have no idea what's coming. The Ukrainians really have no way to really keep themselves, warm and stuff. He goes, it's basically what he's saying is that it's gonna really come down.
It's gonna be a hard winter, and the Old Farmer's Almanac is saying exactly the same thing.
Yeah, I believe it. Well, Mike, I'll let somebody else talk. Nice talking to you.
All right, thanks for the phone call. We have open lines, 512-248-8252. We're going to go to Tom in Florida. Hello, Tom. Welcome back to the show, and what's on your mind today?
Yeah, good day, Mike. Yeah, what's on my mind? Here's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about the importer-in-chief. Instead of commander-in-chief, this guy's importing a whole different ethnic makeup to this country.
Yes.
He should be held, as you well know how I feel about this, Mike. And I'm watching this imbecile, and the weakness is bumbling buffoonery showing at that border with communist Kamala Harris lying her ass off, Mike, about, the border secure? Mike, these people are these people insane in the Democrat Party? These demonic...
No, but they think we're stupid and we'll just believe everything that they say. I think their power has gone to their head. And they're out there saying, this is what you will believe, mahi dictum est, and... we're out here saying, no, and by the way, I don't speak Latin.
Okay, well, Mike, listen. I know how you feel when I bring up the subject, but I got to bring it up.
Yeah.
So here's what, here I go.
Mike, imagine my shock.
Imagine your shock, yeah. I didn't drink no Cuban coffee today, though, Mike, so it's okay.
Okay.
Here's what I got to say, Mike. The narrative that these demon rats use and these communist leftist Bolshevik Marxist news outlets use on the left is that the white women vote is sewed up for the Democratic Party, basically, with abortion, or they have a slicky, kissy, touchy, feely, you can't hurt the illegal immigrants. Mike, they ship 50 illegal aliens to Martha's Vineyard, okay? And they're kicking them out of there, saying that they don't want them there. So, Mike, for the life
DeSantis
of me...
DeSantis is going to send another 1,000.
No, he should. I called Kate Kamak today. Her office, and I told him she should send over 50,000. She goes, that's a great idea. I Mike, again, should I give out that number to Washington so everybody calls? They should call their congressman.
Yeah, sure, why not?
I do. It's 202-224-3121. Easy number. Call your congressperson, let them know how you feel. Flood the Congress, the Capitol, with how you feel about what's going on in your country. We're losing our country, and we are looking at a CW. Now, Mike, and a CW is coming for sure. Mike, here's what I got to say. In Massachusetts, New York, and all that, I notice that they always, they don't bring, and we'll get into the commercials in a minute, Mike, but they never bring in the white males. It's always the white female. They never say, well, the white male is kind of liberal in New York or Massachusetts or Delaware. It's always the female. And as we know, the election was stolen in 2020. But that was the narrative of how they got away with stealing the election. Because I still, for the life of me, Mike, no way do I believe that Joe Biden got 5 million more voters votes than Donald Trump. No way. Unless he's getting, people like to say, dead people, illegal aliens are voting by the millions. That's the only way I can see that happening, Mike, but I don't see it happening any other way.
Okay.
So, the narrative is being molded from the electorate and from the American people. How they're stealing these elections and are using the white woman as the liberal, slicky, kissy, and then, but anyway, Mike, that's how I feel about that. And I'm going to get to Putin in a minute. But, Mike, how much more are we going to absorb of this? How much more can this country absorb of this insanity, Mike? I live in South Florida, Mike, and everybody in RBN knows how I feel. Mike, these people, you go to grocery stores, they don't even want to speak English, man. And they would never allow the Germans to do that. They would never allow Germans to have 20 stations on AM radio in German. They would not allow 5 networks to have German-speaking stations all over the United States. They would not allow German to be spoken, even though they're the most predominant people in this country. There's something wrong here with this narrative. And Mike, we know who's behind this. Who do you think is really behind this, Mike? Who is George Soros, Mike? Who is the Rothschilds? Who are these people? Who is Bloomberg? Who is Zuckerberg? And by the way, Mike, Zuckerberg took a big hit yesterday at the Supreme Court.
Yeah, I
saw
that.
The freedom of speech.
I saw that.
Yes, and that's fantastic news for all of us. I believe for RBN and all that, because you have the freedom of speak. And we're not running a narrative where 2% of the population is going to tell 68% of the population what to do. 64%, whatever. And we can't allow that. We got to nip this in the bud. We got to stop this. I hope Trump and everybody, Trump's sending out flyers, Mike. They have a thing, I just got in the mail. I don't know if you know about this. He's got an American Freedom Tour, Winter Gala, And it's a Mar-a-Lago, and so I got this thing, and everybody in my neighborhood got one. You know, white, black, Democrats. And I see the mail. I asked the mailman, hey, you put these in there? He goes, I'll put them in every mailbox. And it's a Mar-a-Lago club, Palm Beach, Florida. It's for Thursday, December 1st. So kind of ironic, you know what I mean? And these are all in all the mailboxes all over in my area, so I just thought that was kind of interesting. If you can go to Mar-a-Lago, you have... You have a phone number you can call. You want me to give you that number, Mike?
Yeah, I guess it's okay to give that one out, you know. But, you know, please, when you call these numbers for Congress and everything, you know, be respectful, be polite. You know, we don't want to abuse them. They're just, you know, they're just working for a paycheck. And,
no,
they're
absolutely.
Not...
I understand that. I'm not being disrespectful. I understand that. People have the right to call their congressperson and explain how they feel. KK Max offers love that I call. And she said they've been swamped. The guy said they've been swamped called in her office. And if you notice, Mike, I got to bring this to your attention and everybody in RBN. I tried to call Ignacio Ocasio-Cortez and Liz Warren's office, and they're still under COVID restrictions. And I left a message real nice. I said, excuse me, President Biden has said on 60 Minutes that the COVID, the pandemic's over. So why are you still having these people staying home doing robo remote calls? I mean...
Good.
I hear Mike after I
said
that.
More power to you.
Click.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard a click. So, you know, it's just unbelievable. And I'm going to go to Putin in a minute, Mike. But, yeah, this immigration invasion, Mike, they said on all the news this morning, it's over. They're saying it's around 2.2 million.
Yes.
And they're saying 900,000, over 900,000 have escaped inside the interior of the United States. And I believe the one guy said it was like 28,000 hardened criminals of the 900,000 that escaped. And that's not including, Mike, the Venezuelans, that the Venezuelan government, Maduro, opened up the floodgates of their prisons, and they're bringing them all over here to the United States.
Yeah, Castro did the same thing when they allowed the Cuban refugees to come into the country. You know, take our prisoners and make them North America's problem.
Well, Mike, why isn't Joe Biden being arrested right now by the military if he's doing that, if that's the case? Why?
Well, you know, obviously the military leadership is, you know, on board with whatever the agenda is.
Unbelievable. It's really shocking to me what's happening here, Mike. But now I'm going to go to Putin. You know, Mike, Putin's got an ace up his sleeve, and it ain't only that oil. It ain't only the oil that he's going to shut off in the wintertime, okay?
Uh-huh.
I'm not even going to go into nuclear because he's got that too. But Putin's got, in China... They got a lot of rare earth minerals that people think China has all the rare earth minerals. No, it's Russia. Actually, I saw a thing where Putin detonated an atomic bomb and it made a crater. And fortunately for him, came up with all these rare earth minerals were found in this crater. You heard about that?
No, actually, I hadn't. And I wasn't aware. I mean, there are no above-ground tests, so it must have been an underground test. And when they went in, the problem with those rare earth minerals is they're probably radioactive.
Well, probably, possibly, but I'm just saying that's what I saw. And I'm like, what the heck is... So, you know, Putin's got all kinds of little tricks up his sleeve because, come on, it's you know, he's going against a bumbling imbecile like Biden. This guy's ex-KGB. And, you know, Mike... They always act like this guy doesn't speak other languages. Putin knows three other languages, I heard. He's fluent in three languages, but he's acting stupid like he don't know other languages. That's not true. He does speak other languages. So he knows what's going on. So, and, you know, for the life of me, Mike, Biden, being the president and the things he's getting away with and not being arrested, it's mind-blowing to me. Perplexing is all get-out that this guy is getting away with the filth he's doing. And, Mike, the economy's not getting much better. Matter of fact, Mike, I don't know if you heard, but I heard Social Security is going up 8.7. I don't know if you heard that.
I heard that, yeah, there was going to be a cost of living increase. I didn't know what the amount was going to be, but obviously for us seasoned citizens, you know, that's going to be a bit of a blessing.
Well, you know, Mike, eggs, you go to buy eggs in the store right now, they went up 36% since Biden became president.
Yeah.
Trump. The eggs, I believe fish is up. I think fish is up. I'm not 100%. I think it was 12%. Any kind of fish you buy, it's up 12%. And other products are hovering around 10%, 11%. I mean, yeah, man, this guy, I don't see the economy getting better with this moron. It's going to get worse. Mike, another thing, and I'll let you go, and I'll talk about one thing. The gas right now, Mike, is getting low because they're using the reserves. He's using all the reserves, and he's giving all that gas to China. And come December 1st, I guarantee you the gas prices, when the midterms are over, gas is going to go back to $5-6 a gallon.
Oh, yeah, no question. Absolutely no question. You know, they're going to want to make back all that money.
Oh, yeah. And he's going to have I believe buffoonery is going to have this nation crippled again. And, Mike, you know, I hope one more thing that happens. I hope one of the Afro-American brethren callers call in. He has some great guys he's calling. I hope one of them guys will call in and explain to me what Biden and the Democrat Party has done for the Afro-American community when I look at the crime rate in Philadelphia, New Orleans, Detroit, Chicago, of course. Mike, New Orleans and St. Louis, those are murder capitals. And Philadelphia...
New Orleans is now the number one murder capital in the country. Right. The Chicagoans are saying, come on, guys, we gotta try here. You know, we're not in first place anymore. Go out and kill somebody.
Yes, exactly, Mike. And how did the Afro-American community vote Democrat when Biden's bringing all this competition against them? Not only against for whites, all these illegal aliens coming in here for competing for jobs. And, Mike, you know, I wish you would bring up the study right now when you have an opportunity.
It's
2.1 million people in agriculture that are doing agriculture work throughout the whole country that feed us. So, Mike, there's, 42 million illegal aliens in the country? What are these other people doing, lawn service? What jobs are they actually doing, Mike?
I don't know. I think probably most of them are just sitting there on welfare and laughing at the American people who pay for it all.
Well, I think most of them are hanging out at Home Depot or Lowe's.
They certainly find a bunch of them down there.
Yeah, you go to Lowe's or Home Depot, they're ready to jump in your truck if you slow down. They'll jump right in your truck, thinking you're going to put them to work. It's unbelievable that this is happening, Mike. And by the way, Mike, I'll let you go. Maybe you can find out what the agricultural number I saw was 2.1 million. So I don't know what's going to happen in that regard, Mike, with all these other millions of women that are illegally here having babies. They're having babies, Mike, and we're going to be stuck with this. And if we don't do what Barry Sartorio and Hussein Obama said in 2015, that anybody comes out into this country after January 1st of 2011 has to go back to their country of origin and stand in line. That was out of Obama's mouth.
Okay. I just did a quick web search, and in 2020, there were 19.7 million full and part-time jobs related to the agricultural and food sectors. That's the numbers.
Okay, I'm talking about in the crops, Mike. I'm talking about people who actually go out there and, you know, grow the corn or pick the sprouts or whatever. I'm talking about.
Okay,
I'm
looking at another number, and they're saying it's about 1.5 million. And no, hang on a second. The average employment, if I ever get, pardon me, 2.5 million individuals employed for wages on U.S. farms.
Right. That's about. It's about 2.1, 2.5, whatever. And I guess I don't know how many of those are illegal aliens, but I know down here in South Florida there's plenty of illegal aliens working these picking corn and all that down here. So they're not even legal citizens. But, you know, if you do the whole
Well, the
thing,
owners
you know,
of those farms ought to be charged under Title VIII.
I totally agree. I matter of fact, I wish they used to do raids out there out here in the Florida City area. I guess they stopped doing that since Biden's become president. But Trump did have them doing raids. They used to come around, a lot of them up, and ship them out. And, it's incredible what's going on here, Mike, with this immigration. It really is. And, you know, and Mike, those jobs that we're talking about, those jobs could be done by Americans if you just gave them a decent wage.
I agree with you on that one. I really do. Anyway, listen, Tom, I've given you a big chunk of time. We got to take a break for commercials, and we'll be right back.
Hey, there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an ease-off drop-in lift?
Our ease-off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the ease-off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my ease-off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. And one of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Working two jobs ends never seem to me. She often goes hungry, so her babies can't eat. Fatherless son wears torn clothes to school. We're making fun of him's the only golden rule. She doesn't know she's a favorite daughter. If someone wants to.
Welcome back to our show here, and the phone lines are actually full right now, so let's try and empty some of them out there. We're going to go to Bruce in Texas. Hello, Bruce. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike, while I was listening and even through the commercial, I heard some garble stuff coming through. So can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you're just fine.
All right, great. Yeah, the Star Trek, the motion picture. I don't know. When's the last time you watched it, by the way?
Oh, it's been a very, very long time.
Yeah, I understand. It's been a long time.
There are still parts of it that I worked on that I cringe. You know, I don't want to see that, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, the Trekkies loved it.
Yeah, they did, and I was amazed that people didn't see the obvious mistakes.
Oh, okay. No, I didn't see them. But, yeah.
The plot line, I mean, it was
transhumanism. At the very end, you know, the merging of man with this android and, you know, McCoy comments, oh, we just gave birth to a new baby, you know. And I think that's the plot they wanted in there, I guess.
Well, actually, when you know, after rejecting the Quetzalcoatl script, they basically took three of the most popular episodes from the original TV series, and just merged them together. It was Obsession, the Changeling, and I forget the name of the third episode. They put them all together, and then the Paramount executives went through and just struck out anything they thought would be offensive to anybody. And I'm glad people really liked it. But, you know, in my opinion as a filmmaker, it was a piece of junk. I mean, I was grateful to work on it. It was the first major effects movie I ever worked on. And, you know, it was a treat working with Robert Wise. All of that. But as a movie, I'm not impressed with it.
Okay. But, you know, the 80s, man, we had blockbuster after blockbuster. They take that Terminator. I recently rewatched that on a big TV, and, man,
That's a well-crafted movie, and, you know, I mean, the first one really had not much of a budget. You know, James Cameron is a masterful filmmaker. I think I would have to say he's probably my favorite director, and Avatar is still my all-time favorite movie.
Yeah, 1 through 4, The Terminator was awesome, and so was Predator. The first Predator was, man, and see, they don't even want to show strong males anymore. Like they're
no,
having
they
a Law and Order. Yeah, I've been watching the ads for the Law and Order Special Victims Unit Plus. You know, it's like a combination of two different shows into one. And, you know, here's a strong female and Ice-T, and they're going after the domestic extremist terrorist, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, come on. Yep. They got to push this in everything. Ariel and the reboot of the Little Mermaid now is black.
Yep.
And, you know, and the local news had a deal where, you know, there's so many, like 1.4 million downvotes. I don't know what it was. But then they showed, you know, little black girls that, oh, she's black like me. Well, that's great. That's great. Make her your own character. Because what about the little white girls? You know, or women who grew up with that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, I think the public is going to be more accepting of gay and black characters if they come with their own unique identity rather than trying and hijacking, you know, a previous version. That's going to alienate those who were fans of those older versions.
So yeah, all the imagination and risk-taking from the 80s, 90s, 2000s, it's gone now. I mean,
oh, yeah, it's all gone. Everybody's playing it safe,
you know,
towing the liberal line, LGBTQ, transgender, and, you know, they're losing business because of it. I saw an article over the weekend where people are now saying that even Disney World, which has become hideously expensive, it's so politically correct. It's just it doesn't have that magic that it used to have. And, you know, I'm old enough to remember, you know, the original Anaheim Disneyland. It was a magical place. You know, Walt was still in charge of it. It had variety. It had, adventure. And it wasn't all that expensive. It was a fun place to go. But the last time Claire and I tried to go to Disneyland, we were getting the body pat down and checking the purses and everything. We didn't even get to the ticket booths. I said, I this just doesn't feel like Disneyland anymore. And we turned around and left.
Yeah, when I went to the one in Anaheim, I got lost because I was so infatuated with it. And the school bus was waiting out there for me, and they couldn't find me. I mean, when the gates closed, I came out. Boy, they were pissed, and I got a whip, and I got home.
Well, I can imagine, actually, that first time that I was taken to Disneyland by my parents, you know, we had walkie-talkies to stay in touch with each other, and then my father did a very dumb thing. He took my younger brother, left the walkie-talkie in the stroller with my youngest brother, and we lost contact with him, and we couldn't find him, and then Mom had to drive back to Anaheim to pick him up, and it was, kind of a weird moment there. Anyway, listen, Bruce, I got to let you go. We got to take a break for commercials. We got a lot of callers waiting on the line, and we will be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure and natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of happy packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility. Provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty.
And welcome back to our show here. We're going to go back to the phones to Marco in Alabama. Marco, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Good afternoon, Michael.
Good afternoon.
I guess, you know, the thing that, you know, most disturbing to me, you know, about this whole, you know, immigrants to Martha's Vineyard and, you know, immigrants being dumped off on Kamala Harris's property, is the fact, dude, that we're, like, nationally lampooning it, all right? I don't want it to go any further than where it's been. Because realistically, when you guys sit here and think about this, yeah, it's funny, dude, they're dumping illegals, dude, on, you know, Chuck Schumer's lawn and everybody else's places. But the fact of the matter is that the Republican governors are going along with the Great Reset by doing this. I mean, these people should be getting thrown out and not into the interior of this country.
I absolutely agree. You know, I mean, you know, Mayor Adams is out there saying, well, you know, maybe we could house the illegal immigrants on cruise ships. No, let's just not let them into the country in the first place. That's why we have borders. And if you don't have borders, you don't have a country.
I mean, because everybody can go to the UN website and you can see what their plans for 2050 are.
Yes.
I mean, we already know, you know, that it isn't just Mexicans, it isn't just Central Americans or South Americans that are coming to this country. They've already noted the border agent said 121 nations.
Yes.
And the agenda, you know, 2050 for the UN states that America is supposed to be at a population of 600 million with mostly people from sub-Saharan Africa and the Middle East. It's right on their front page, right for you to see it. Now, when, you know, when Ron DeSantis and Abbott in Texas and the governor of Arizona in the Yuma sector that are letting these people through, you know, are you know, doing, putting them on buses and sending them to Chicago and all that stuff, they're just as guilty as the Democrats in the grand scheme of things. I mean, the joke is over. Now start throwing them out. I mean, and if you don't want to throw them out, you know, I don't even know what to do anymore about this. I mean, in all reality, but I just know, dude, that this, you know, is just, you know, a distraction from the overall goal that these people, dude, are still a part of this globalist New World Order agenda, and even Ron DeSantis is a part of it, man. I mean, this is the scary part, dude, about having to choose between Ron and Trump. You know, Trump has the power, dude, to deal with these people globally, but he doesn't know how to handle foreign policy, you know, here, you know, in America, you know, as well as Ron would. You know, like, as for being vocal and being, you know, abrasive to Democrats like we should have. But if we give, you know, the ball to Ron, Ron can't fight the globalists. And what you're not talking about, you know, Michael, I don't know if you know this yet or anything like that, but the globalists are having forums, dude, in New York City right now.
Yeah, I know they are.
The Clinton Foundation, all of that, dude, they're all in New York City, and all the who's who, dude, of globalists are in New York right now, plotting, you know, the UN future, where that senator last week, you know, had that gentleman, the representative from Facebook on, openly admitting that the UN is pretty much, dude, running this country, dude, and not Joe Biden or any of these people. I mean, when the UN is censoring everybody, who the hell do they think they are? Just because they got land donated on our soil, they ain't American. I mean, that's the way that I look at it. I mean, I'm sitting here, I work in the travel and hospitality industry, and I see more foreign soldiers, dude, in our country, dude, than I'm prepared and comfortable to deal with. And I don't know if these people, dude, are here to turn on us. I sit here, and every time I hear, dude, some European soldiers, dude, in, you know, around where I work, I'm thinking of Die Hard and all that stuff the entire time, dude. And then I'm like, you know, the odd man out because, you know, most Americans, you know, sit here and wouldn't expect, you know, any Europeans, dude, to sit here and do things to us. Well, dude, truth be told, the globalist agenda includes them, too. And this is where we're at, you guys. I mean, you know, I'm seeing more foreign soldiers in our country, dude, because I live, you know, in the area where we have a major, you know, strategical arsenal and things like that, and they broke up the FBI, and they brought, you know, the counterterrorism unit down here, mainly to come after us.
Yeah.
And all that stuff. They're training against us. And you know, this is the reality. And when you sit here and you see Polish troops, you know, Germans, Czechs, all that stuff, these people here, you know, these are all UN people. These are all globalists. These are all, dude, the controlled, you know, UN agenda, you know, people here in our country, dude, that are eventually, dude, training to be against us. And all that stuff. The United Nations and whatnot, it was back in the days when I sit here and I look at, you know, Armed Forces Radio and things like that, the United States of the United Nations. You know, that's what you hear, dude, these old radio programs and all that stuff. You know, we were the good boys then and all that stuff, but now how does everybody feel about the UN, really? I mean, I look at them, you know, that these people, dude, you know, could be spies against us, people plotting against us, or something like that.
Well, I mean, the Border Patrol is admitting, you know, they're not vetting these Afghan refugees that are coming on in, and they know that some of them do harbor ill will toward the United States, and many of them are on the terrorist watch list, and they're just being waved on in and said, welcome to the United States, here's your free stuff, vote Democratic.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that, you know, we're being invaded by all sides. I mean, that's why I was sitting there trying to get everybody to look at the larger picture. I mean, yes, it was cute, you know, to dump illegals, dude, on their lawns, you know, for, you know, comedic factor, you know, for, you know, some late night Fox television news show and all that stuff. But in all reality, these governors are doing the Democrats' bidding.
Well, they're
and that
not
even
doing
includes
it.
Ron DeSantis.
Marco, calm down. Calm down. Take a Valium. You know, 50 illegal immigrants to Martha's Vineyard is not an army. It is a symbol only. But its value to the American people is that it did show the hypocrisy of liberalism, where they're out there saying that, you know, all of you conservatives should welcome the illegal immigrants. We just don't want them around here.
Michael, grossly, roughly, you know, 2 million, you know, migrants went through Texas, went through Yuma, went through Florida.
Yeah,
and they got into the interior of this country. So somebody's not doing their job.
Well, Biden's not doing his job. He's not enforcing Title VIII.
I mean, I understand that because Biden is not even running this country. I mean, like I said before, the UN is running this country. They want this forced immigration, and once they have enough people, you know, to come into this country, they'll have a block where they can start regional government and things like that. That will, you know, pretty much, dude, you know, dissolve the American government because they'll have a strong base of people here that will sit. They will vote for, you know, values, dude, that are not American because they don't have any allegiance to this country or anything like that.
Okay.
And what can we do about it? The only thing we can do about it, really, is to sit here and point out who our enemies are and things like that, and point out the people, dude, that we suspect. And you know, the UN's part of this. The UN is totally part of this. Don't think for a second that they're not. Go to their front page.
No, I understand the UN is part of it. The UN sees
600 million immigrants in America.
The UN sees itself as the eventual seat of world government. Of course, there are other people who want that seat of global government to be either in Brussels or Tel Aviv or Jerusalem and various other places, and they're still fighting amongst themselves. But ultimately, it is the United States federal government that has completely and utterly failed in their responsibility to secure our borders.
We're collapsed. We're collapsed already. I mean, when Joe Biden sits there and says things and somebody is walking them back, like we'll defend Taiwan, and then, you know, this press bureau and senators and things like that, dude, turn around and say, no, we're not going to do anything, you know. It's already proof right there that Biden doesn't run anything.
No, he doesn't. He's just a front man, a puppet.
Well, who's running this country?
Jeff Dunham.
Who is running this country? That's what Americans need to start saying to each other when they greet each other. Who is running this country? And put Biden on the spot. You know, we got to force these people out. And yeah, dude, I know this is how we do it, you know, by sitting here exposing, dude, all of his shortcomings and his, you know, mental irregularities and things like that. But ultimately, at the end of the day, grown adults want to know who's running this country.
Well, George Soros is running part of the country, and Bill Gates is running part of the country, and Wall Street is running a big part of the country. You know, I don't think there is a single focal point that's calling all the shots. Like I've said last week, we're living in a real-life version of Game of Thrones with all of these different kingdoms, you know, struggling with each other for, you know, domination.
But nonetheless, I want to get off the phone so that everybody else can talk. You guys have a great day, Michael.
I appreciate that. We've got a bunch of callers here, and thank you very much. We're going to go to Laura in Michigan. Hello, Laura. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. I've changed my mind 4 times since I've been on the phone. I guess I'm going to say, I don't know why you people are for DeSantis. Don't forget, he's the one that pushed the legislation that you couldn't boycott, divest, or sanction Israel. And when he passed that legislation, he went to Israel, took people to visit his candidates to celebrate. I mean, what do you think? He's going to be a good guy? No. He flies the Ukraine flag over his governor's residence. This is not a good guy.
Okay, well, those are good insights.
That.
Those are good insights, you know, and there is something about our system where anybody who genuinely wants this country to do well and support the Constitution, they get filtered out. I mean, look what they did to Tulsi Gabbard. I mean, she got absolutely no traction at all from corporate media, no support at all from the Democratic Party. You know, it's that political machine, the party machines, that decide, okay, we're going to pre-select a bunch of candidates, all of whom will serve our interests. We're going to put them on display. You get to pick one, but it doesn't really matter which one you pick because they're already, you know, vetted to serve the globalists or the Wall Street tycoons and so forth.
That's right. You're right. Okay, the other thing I was going to say.
Okay.
Biden made enemies with Germany. Germany asked for natural gas, and Biden said, no, we've gone totally green. We're not giving you any natural gas. I guess he forgot that there's a military base in Germany.
Yeah, that could prove to be embarrassing. But, you know, we reported during the economic part of the talking points, you know, the U.S. is already facing a natural gas shortage. We don't have it to give away. And Joe Biden can say, well, it's because of the climate and we're trying to be green and everything. But, you know, I look at all this green stuff about get rid of oil, get rid of coal, get rid of gas here. And what are we going to use instead? Well, I don't know. That's not my problem. You work it out. And, you know, it reminds me of a saying I heard a long, long time ago when I was a kid. Never blow out a candle until the next candle is already lit. And that is a piece of wisdom that the Green Movement seems oblivious to. They want to blow out all the candles here, and they have no idea what they're going to do in the dark.
Okay, the last thing I wanted to bring up was about the blood clots. They're actually called amyloid clots.
Okay.
They're not clots of blood. That's why warfarin or Coumadin doesn't work on them, because it's actually the spike proteins from the mRNA shots clotting up. It's kind of a fibrous material. It's kind of white
that's,
and grayish.
Yeah, that's what the undertakers were saying.
Yeah, they're not regular blood. So that's causing a very huge problem.
And yeah, it is.
It's going to be in a lot of people's bodies.
Well, I'm grateful that Claire and I did not get the mRNA shots, and you know, we're very worried about family who did.
Yeah. Well, I'm in this nursing home, and I didn't get a shot. I'm the only one here. Didn't get a shot.
Well, good for you.
I use a Nuremberg code. I said, you guys do that, you're going to be sued. I'm shot free, so I'm happy about that.
Well, Claire and I got the Johnson & Johnson shot because the nursing home would not allow us to visit her mother unless we had been vaccinated. So I got the vaccine pass in my iPhone and everything. and we got the J&J shot because at the time we got it, there were no public reports of adverse reactions to the J&J shot. Of course, shortly thereafter, they started coming on out. You know, we got our shots a very long time ago, and I don't think we've suffered any adverse effects. I'm very glad we did not get the mRNA shots. Anyway, Laura, we're going to let you go here. And
okay.
Let me send a message to my control room here. And we're going to go to Layla in Canada. Hello, Layla. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yes. Hello, Mike. I don't know why everyone gets all excited about New Orleans being the murder capital of the U.S. It was the murder capital of the U.S. when I was there in 86 and 87. In fact, I did a series on it. I did a series called Scared to Death. And it was about the fact that we had now exceeded or gone further than Miami with the rate of murders. And by the way, at that time, I also did another series called The Graveyard about all the different ships that used to service the offshore rigs because oil had gone down to $10 a barrel. So they've been trying for a long time to starve us of this fossil fuel. But I wanted to get to another subject, and that is the UN.
Yeah.
Who is running the UN? It's always been run by the Zionists through London, through Canada, and New York. it was the Canadian former labor minister who became the prime minister after he was advisor to David Rockefeller, and he advised David Rockefeller to clean up his image after the Colorado coal mine massacre, to clean up his image and donate property to the United Nations, and he did. And that is basically on the advice of William Lyon Mackenzie King, who then later became prime minister, and he was undoubtedly serving the interests of Britain, who was undoubtedly serving the interests of Israel. Who is running the world right now? Who is running the whole game? I don't care who the puppets are. They're scattered all over the place. It is Israel. That is, as I said on another show, that is the head of the octopus, and the octopus has its tentacles all around the world. Azerbaijan, Russia, it's the same ones who destroyed Russia. They destroyed Germany, and now they're going to destroy the U.S. They already own Canada, always have. So there's no need to worry about that. And yesterday, we talked about presidential pardons. I was wrong. The guys were convicted. The Blackwater Guards were convicted. However, presidential pardons are very loosely interpreted as long as it's a federal crime. Remember, yes. Jimmy Carter pardoned all of the draft dodgers. Gerald Ford, who pardoned Nixon even before he was charged? You don't even have to be charged or convicted.
Nixon was never
all
charged.
You
yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
Nixon was never actually charged.
He
never had to stay in court.
Exactly. So those are simply so because the government has long been in collusion against its own people. Now, I have a final question.
Let me back up here a little bit.
Yes.
The reason Gerald Ford pardoned Richard Nixon, he actually pardoned a whole bunch of people who were involved in Watergate, and he did it to stop all inquiries into what was going on, because the big, deep, dark secret was why Nixon had broken into the Watergate. Actually, E. Howard Hunt led the team, when it was obvious he was going to win the election against George McGovern. And all of that linked back to the assassination of John F. Kennedy, and if that had come on out, that's the kind of secret that can destroy the legitimacy of the entire government. And Gerald Ford had served on the Warren Commission, so he was on the inside and knew what was at stake. And so he said, you're all pardoned, you know, our national nightmare is over, and you know, forget about any more investigations, and let's just move forward, and we're going to whip inflation now, no matter how many billions of dollars it takes. And so they were basically covering it up, and Nixon had to go because he was the weak point that could have brought the whole government down.
And it's coming down anyway, but
it's a
controlled demolition now on their terms at the time that they finally decide they can win. I have a final question for people to consider. Are we already in a military coup? If the military is not protecting the people, if it is serving the interests of the globalists, and if when we say CIA, we should say Mossad, when we say FBI, we should say Shin Bet, or MI6 or any one of those, should we now be asking ourselves, are we in the midst of a military coup? We know what the Canadians did to the Freedom Convoy.
Yes.
Because they dared get together and rebel. How do we now rebel? I think the only advice we should be following is that of Thomas Jefferson. That's the answer to our dilemma, and we're acting too late. Have we waited too long? Thomas Jefferson warned us. That's why it wasn't just Tom. It was also even that the seemingly meek and mild John Adams.
Yeah, John Adams sounded the warning too.
Yeah, keep your weapons. That's
so did Ben Franklin. You know, when so did Ben Franklin. When he was asked what they'd done, he said, "We've created a republic if you can keep it."
If you can keep it. And we unfortunately sat back and let ourselves be lulled into folly, into stupidity. And at the same time that we were sitting back relaxed, they were feeding us all these poison foods that took away our capability of recognizing what was happening, and we were too placid and too complacent, and now we're wondering, what do we do? And we don't even have the homogeneity to be able to put together a coordinated resistance, because it's both.
Well, that's because of all the divide and conquer. I mean, the government has gone out of its way to turn the blacks against the whites, the straights against the gays, the men against the women, the young against the old. It's divide and conquer. The one thing the government is most afraid of is the American people all standing up and understanding that they are just one American people, and you know, on that day, you know, the tyrant will fall.
The problem is, we're not one American people. There are too many people here who are the enemies, like the Afghans, like the low class Arabs that have come here from the Arab countries. There's a reason that some people used to live in the. For example, our people, we lived in Bethlehem, and we had stone walls all around because there's so many people that migrated all through that area. They're now migrated into the U.S. They're here. We can't avoid it. We're no longer a united one America or even a one Canada, and it always was one country. Remember, it was Vicente Fox and Bush the second, I think, baby Bush, and Stephen Harper, who all got together in Mexico, and they were called the Three Amigos when they created the North American Union secretly. Against and the media barely covered it, and we barely whispered about it, and then it was forgotten. So
that seems to have fizzled. It's not as obvious as the European Union. Anyway, Layla, we're almost at the end of the show. I want to take one more phone call here. Thank you very much, and we're going to go to Peter in Los Angeles. Hello, Peter. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, Mike, I was going to talk about the black vote, which I'll do some other time, but I want to say that what Layla pointed out, what Lauren from Michigan pointed out, what Tom pointed out, this is completely, or the UN, it's not the UN is totally controlled by international Jewry, the Zionists. Has been from the very beginning. And I just sent you an article, I sent it several days ago, but I resent it as I was waiting, talking.
Okay.
On BlackRock. And you want to know how they organize this control. And they organize it, I'm talking about Internet Zionists, the international Jewry, the stateless, rootless, what do they call them, rootless cosmopolitans. They do it through entities like Vanguard and BlackRock. And BlackRock has trillions of dollars under management.
Yes.
That's the public companies. We don't know how many private companies they bought up, because they really don't have to disclose that, really.
No, they don't.
And then Vanguard. And by the way, then Goldman Sachs. If you look at any single publicly held company, and anyone, I implore anybody to do this, who are the largest shareholders, you'll see that the largest shareholder is either BlackRock or Vanguard. Maybe State Street, but they're all Jewish owned, all of them.
Yeah,
and of course the Federal Reserve buys these assets with the money they print, turns them over for management to the BlackRock and Vanguard. Now, if you go and see, because BlackRock and Vanguard are publicly owned companies, Larry Fink is the CEO. Jewish guy, as they all are.
Okay, Peter, I am terribly sorry. Please call back in tomorrow to complete this, but we are at the end of the show. The music is playing. Stay tuned for the National Intel Report. Michael Herzog is taking the microphone. Reed Sainsbury is going to be his guest. Please spread the word of republicbroadcasting.org. Spread the word of whatreallyhappened.com. Please continue to donate. Thank you very much for your support. And we'll be back tomorrow. Aloha, America.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.